Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
Good? Well, hey, as you saw in that little preview clip, this series is not yet rated, so we're going to send all our kids upstairs for Revolution Kids Church. I think it is actually rated PG, but, today we're going to talk about one of my favorite movies, The Lion King. Can you believe 25 years ago, 25 years that this movie's been out? If that doesn't make you feel old, I don't know what will. Of course, I am talking today about the 1994 version, not about the one that's in theaters today, although I've been told it's pretty much the same story. So, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it yet. Anybody not seen The Lion King? No? What? Sorry, we had four or five in the first service too. So let me give you a synopsis. before I roll some footage here. So this movie is about a lion king. And we start off with the birth of Simba, this lion cub who's born into royalty. And Simba's dad, Mufasa, gives him this wonderful dream that someday he is going to be king of Pride Rock. What a cool dream to give to a kid, right? But there's this problem that Simba has an uncle named Scar who is pretty jealous of his brother's throne. And Simba is just one more thing in the way of him becoming king himself. So Scar deceives Simba, tells him all these lies about himself, gets him into all sorts of mischief. And whenever he gets into mischief, of course, his father, Mufasa, has to come and rescue him. Well, eventually, one of these times, Mufasa rescues his son, but dies in the process. And with Mufasa also dies Simba's dream of being king. Let's watch. I caught a lot of you still singing there. When it switched to the wildebeest scene. Everything the light touches. Isn't that an awesome dream? It kind of reminds me of Abraham, doesn't it? The Lord said to Abram, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. Everything the light touches, Abraham, everything the light touches, it's going to be yours. And so begins this dream for Israel. Now, we could take this movie and we could relate it to just about anybody in Scripture, from Abraham to Joseph or Moses or David or Jesus or Peter, pretty much anybody in the Bible. And the reason being, each of these stories reflects the bigger story that God's telling, and it reflects your story and my story as well. So with that in mind, let's read the entire Bible this morning, cover to cover, with some chutzpah. All right. In the interest of time, let's just stick to Romans 8, and we'll hope it makes sense in the end. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. There's another guy who had a dream. His name was Joseph. Do you remember his story? Joseph had this awesome dream when he was a kid where everybody was bowing down to him. Now, he's the second youngest in the family, so this is kind of far-fetched of a dream, but his brothers, his parents were all bowing down to him. Even the sheaves of wheat were bowing down to him. And he got so excited about this dream, maybe a little too excited, that he goes and he gets his brothers and his family together and he says, guess what, guys? Oh, I just can't wait to be king, right? You can hear the excitement in his voice, the anticipation, the hope, the confidence. It's a good dream after all, right? Everyone's bowing down to him. He's going to be a ruler. This was a dream that was so much bigger than he was, a dream that there's no way he could accomplish on his own. But still, it seemed so real in the moment. It seemed so attainable. Yet, if only he could see what would happen next. His brothers sell him into slavery. He's forced into hard labor. He's thrown into prison for a crime that he didn't commit. What about David, the forgotten among his brothers? Samuel came to anoint the next king, and he's looking. He said, I know it's in this house. I'm going to go through all the brothers, right? He says, but is there anybody else? Oh, yeah, we've got another kid out there. He's out in the field with the sheep. His name's David. David gets anointed as king as a child. Everything the light touches, David, it's going to be your kingdom, right? But does he go to the palace and have the riches and the power right away? No, he ends up running for his life and hiding out in caves, fighting with the enemy of his people, hanging out with outcasts and misfits and nobodies, searching for food in the wilderness. Can't you just hear him hiding out in a cave alone saying, God, I just can't wait to be king. That's the thing about dreams. If they were easy, if they went the way we planned, they wouldn't be much of a dream, would they? Hope that we can see, as we just read, right, is no hope. But we hope for what we don't see. You've heard me say this before, but if a dream is not bigger than you are, if it's not more than you can accomplish on your own, it's probably not a God dream for your life. God gives us a dream. There's excitement, there's anticipation, there's belief, there's faith. Of course, this is a God dream. It's going to happen, no problem, right? But then life happens, and things come along and cause the dreams to die. They cause us to lose hope. They cause us to forget. Mufasa dies. Your brothers throw you into slavery. The mad King Saul is trying to kill you. And everything that you relied upon to get you to your dream, everything you thought that was going to make that dream happen for you is gone. And now the dream just seems impossible, silly, far-fetched. And maybe like Simba, it seems like it's all your fault. If only you hadn't made that big mistake. If only you tried harder. If only you were smarter. If only you were prettier. Not that any of us in this room could be any prettier. Wealthier. Born to a different family. I don't know what it is, but if only something were different, maybe the dreams could happen. But the way it is, God, maybe you've got the wrong guy. And the thing is, life comes and dreams die. And the pain of holding on to those dreams, those missed dreams, makes us weary and it makes us want to forget. That's why Proverbs 13 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But hey, we're resilient people, right? We bounce back. We make compromises. And so we form these dreams that are smaller, safer, distant, so distant from what God's dream for us was, and yet maybe reflecting a little bit, maybe it's got a little hint of it here and there, but they're safe dreams. Ones we can do for ourselves with our own resources, with our own timelines, right? When our dreams become too difficult, when they become out of reach, when they become beyond ourselves, what do? We seek the easy, the comfortable way, the instantly gratifying way to find our happiness. And the world offers us a million and one ways to get that, doesn't it? The latest trends or technology, a degree or specialized certification or education, a new look, a stronger cup of coffee, an energy drink that glows more than the other ones do. Stock market, the corporate ladder. You know what I'm talking about? Hakuna Matata, right? That'll make sense in a minute. Hakuna Matata. If we can just get enough, 3 more years till retirement, if our pension just does this, if this works out, if that works out, if we can just work hard enough, if we can just do it all ourselves, we can finally get to that place where we leave our worries behind us. Where we forget about the big, the painfully unfulfilled dreams in our lives. And we start to find happiness in the normal, subpar, unextraordinary, though maybe quite enjoyable, life. You all remember the prodigal son? He left his father, he left all his responsibilities, left the future wealth and estate and power of his position in his father's family for the good life in Vegas. Israel got a taste of power when they were in Egypt under Joseph. But a few hundred years later, they find themselves slaves and running away in the desert to die, just like Simba. David ran from the palace to hide in caves. Elijah ran from his victory on Mount Carmel out into the desert, saying, God, take me now. I don't want to live. Peter denied Christ three times and runs away in tears. I could go on and on and on. But to be honest, it's starting to stress me out a little bit, all this talk about broken dreams. I think we could use a break. How about a sing-along? We all better?
Yes.
All right. No worries for the rest of our days. We're all happy again. Forgot about the world and its problems for just a minute. But you know what? When we become too comfortable with this, with Hakuna Matata, usually means we've stopped pursuing our dreams. It doesn't mean that there aren't good and easy and rewarding times as we pursue God's dream for our life. That's not what I'm saying. But if Hakuna Matata becomes your dream and your identity and your goal in life, you're never going to allow yourself to be stretched enough, to grow enough, to risk enough, to have faith enough to pursue something bigger in your life. We can't stay in Hakuna Matata forever, because sooner or later, the pain of what we've lost catches up with us. The pain of broken dreams tugs and nags at our hearts, saying, you were made for more than this. 40 years Israel ran in the desert, afraid to enter into their promise. Why? Because it seemed too big, too stretching for them, right? When they did finally enter this land, the land, mind you, this is the same land that God promised to Abraham, saying, Abraham, everything the light touches, this will be yours. This is the fulfillment of that promise. And they come in there and they find it just as he said, flowing with milk and honey. Life is good, Hakuna Matata. Life was so good, in fact, that they forgot what their real dream was about. The real dream wasn't about them living in comfort and wealth and prosperity. The real dream was them being a light to the nations and a witness of God and the earth. But when they gave up that real dream for the fake one of comfort, of self-gratification, things just fell apart. It got so bad, actually, that after a while they lost everything and they became slaves again, this time to a place called Babylon. And while there were some great heroes that came out of this time, heroes who remembered who they were, heroes who never forgot what their real dream was, heroes like David and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, who stood up in the midst of a counterculture, the people as a whole assimilated into the culture around them. They wanted to be like everybody else. And I'm sure we can all relate to that. They forgot who they were. They forgot what they stood for. Until these two guys, Ezra and Nehemiah, came and urged them to remember who they were. You see, God's dreams for us are eternal. We can walk away from them. We can even, through our fear and stubbornness, miss the best, easiest path and let him drag us through the hard way. But sooner or later, one way or another, God is always calling us back to himself and always calling us back to the dream that he has for us. He met Elijah in the wilderness. He sustained him. He refreshed him. He gave him hope again. He met David in the caves, gave him favor among the people, taught him what it meant to be a leader, and raised him up to be, outside of Jesus, the greatest king that Israel has ever known. He restored Israel back to her own land. He restored Peter after he denied Christ. And you know what? He's restoring me too. I faced so many disappointments in life trying to pursue this dream that God has given me. I've believed lies about myself that have held me back. I've listened to the pain and the trauma that have said, you can't do this. And just like I've talked about, I've fashioned a more reasonable dream for myself. I said, well, maybe I'll just have to let some of my gifts go and focus on the other ones, and maybe I can just find a comfortable job, one that's not too stressful, one that I'm good at and pays the bills. There could be worse things, right? And that's exactly what I did. Until one day I'm driving a van full of high school youth to a conference in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I hear God's voice, clear as day, say, "Matthew, you used to dream so big. What happened?" And on that day, he gave me permission to dream big again. And I tried. I tried to get back in touch with God's dream for my life, although I still tried to do it in my own way, and what can I accomplish that will get me closer, you know? And it's been cycle after cycle as God's still releasing me into that faith and into that promise, as I'm still learning to dream big. I love this next scene in the movie. It's maybe one of my favorite scenes of any movie of all time. It's where Simba remembers who he is. You see, Simba runs off into the desert to die, but he finds this group and learns Hakuna Matata, and he's living the good life. And he does this for a while until eventually someone from his past catches up with him and reminds him of who he was supposed to be. And in the midst of his pain, he goes searching for himself, and he finds himself, he realizes who he is, and he goes back to Pride Rock to challenge his uncle Scar. And when he does, he ends up taking back his rightful place as king of Pride Rock. Let's watch. Remember who you are. My favorite scene. Because this is the point where everything starts to change, not for, just for Simba, but for everybody. This is the point where everything changes. Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are. This is the crucial point, and it's the crucial point for all of us, where this dream turns from just longing and wishful thinking to the realization and fulfillment of everything God created us to be. This is the moment where we realize, on the one hand, who God is, and on the other, we realize his character reflected in us, who we are, who he's created us to be. And they come together, and that's where our dreams happen. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." The problem with experiencing God's dream and the fulfillment, the shalom, the wholeness, the completeness of living the life God has designed for us is that we have forgotten who we are and so forgotten God. "Simba, you've forgotten me." "No, Father, how can it be?" "You have forgotten who you are and so forgotten me." God said, "Let them rule. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." We were made to rule. We were made to have authority. We were made to have dominion. Just a couple verses later, it says we're to fill the earth, to subdue it, to conquer it, to bring it under control, to bring it under our own will. Everything that we see and touch and smell and hear, everything the light touches, at least on the earth, was given to our care and our leadership. I mean, can you just imagine for a second? Being the only two people on this earth before it's overpopulated and polluted and covered in concrete and being told to subdue the earth? Wow. We were never meant to live life on the sidelines. We are not meant to be bench warmers. Think about it. Niagara Falls, the Himalayas, the Grand Canyon, ocean waves that could swallow entire cities, lions and elephants and giraffes, the the rainforest, the Sahara Desert, the polar ice caps. Wow. Our lives were meant for excitement, for conquering every obstacle, for exploration and awe at the wonder and majesty of God. As rulers, we were meant to make tough decisions, to direct creation, to guide it, to protect it, even to create and establish it. You know, the word authority, we're given authority, comes from the root word author, to create, to build, to design, to change. See, God found such delight in creating, and every day he creates something new, and he said, this is so awesome. And he wanted to share that gift with us. And so he created us and said, create with me. I want to share this joy with you. He painted the most beautiful painting ever made. And then he says, now my painting is your canvas. Take it. Be responsible for it. Make it your own. And we don't know how long it was from this moment to the fall. But we do know that something went terribly wrong in the first three chapters of this story. Because as quickly as we were given this authority, we gave it away to another, to the prince of darkness. And what happened from our mistake? We were forced to run away and never return. Just like Simba, to die in the desert alone. And so to deal with this pain, what did we do? We created gods of ourselves. We left behind the dream of being rulers. We left behind the responsibility and authority we were given, and we said, let's just become gods for ourselves, seeking after number one, seeking after our own needs and our own comfort. And our desires. Am I still on? Okay. We were given authority, but we forgot that we were also under authority. Job 1:21 says that the Lord gives, the Lord also takes away. We forgot that it's only by his authority that our authority meant anything to begin with. And so that same egotistical thirst for power that led the greatest of angels to become Satan himself so deceived us and convinced us that our authority was greater than God's, and so we ate the fruit of our own lusts and desires. The power went to our heads. That's why Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But here's the thing. God gave us that authority and he can take it back. And God did take it back through Jesus Christ. He took back the authority on this earth through Jesus, and Jesus turns around and gives it right back to us and gives us a second chance to rightfully restore the authority on this earth. Remember today's scripture? For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole world, whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. All of creation is longing to obtain the freedom that's found in what? The glory of the children of God. That's us. The glory of God living in us. Look harder. Look harder, and you'll see that glory living inside of us. We didn't show the scene when Scar is ruling the Pride Lands, but what happens is it becomes a barren land. There's no more food, there's no more water, everything dries up, everything dies. And all of creation is hungry, thirsty, desperate, longing for the rightful king to come and to restore all things back to God, or in this case, the circle of life. We were made to be rulers, but when we abandoned our position, the world went into bondage. And it's waiting and longing for us to take our place. And when we do, then creation is going to be set free. All of creation set free. Our neighbors set free. Our workplaces set free. Our families set free. Our communities set free. They're just simply waiting for us to realize who we are and to subdue the earth once again. Now, if you're sitting here today and you've forgotten your dreams, or you're sitting here thinking about all the lies and past mistakes, the scars, the failures that make all of this just seem so wildly impossible and out of reach, I want you to remember one thing from this movie today. Scars lie. You hear me? Scars lie. And just like the scar in the movie, the scars of our life will lie and tell us that we are not who God says that we are. And so what do? We seek what feels good, what makes us feel better about ourselves and avoid the pain of missing the mark. But God is speaking to each and every one of us today. Not one person in this room is exempt. He's speaking to everybody here when he says this. He says, remember who you are. You are my son. You are my daughter. And you were meant to rule in my kingdom. Remember. Remember who you are. Now, if you're struggling with this today, I want to share some resources to help you out. First of all, the best resource I can give you, we've just talked about in our last series, it's community. The staff here is eager. This is what we love to do, is to help you discover God's dream in your life, to uncover the lies and help you walk out and fulfill that dream every day. We would love to talk with you, talk with your renovation group or your renovation group leader. Encourage each other. Call out the lies. Speak truths. Speak that true identity into each other. The next resource I want to share with you is a website that I've created. There's hundreds of articles and videos and tools out here to help you discover God's dream for your life, to help you get past the lies of your past and to discover who you are, who God says that you are, and who he says that he is, and walk it out day by day. It's on the screen. It's also in your mobile app on the notes for this morning, and there's also cards out in the lobby that have this URL on it. You can go visit that. If you prefer it in book form, of course, there's Journey to Freedom out there. There's a lot of the same materials, very similar, and you can check that out in the lobby too. And then finally, check out Celebrate Recovery, Wednesday nights, starting at 6:30 with dinner. It's a group of people trying to figure out who God says they are. Aren't we all, right? Trying to figure out who God says that we are, get past the lies that we believe, get past the hurts and the habits and the hang-ups to walk in freedom in God's dream for our lives. Come check it out. My prayer, my hope, my desire for all of us in this room today is that we don't miss who we were created to be. It is far too important. Far too important. You are far too important to forget who you were created to be. Today is the day. Remember who you are. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That your plans and desires for us are to give us a future and a hope, to prosper us and not to harm us. God, that you have given us these dreams, that you call us, no matter where we are or what we've done, that you're calling us to rule with you once again. God, we honor you as the true king and as the true giver of authority in our lives. We bow down to you, and we thank you for your most precious gift, in Jesus Christ. We remember today his sacrifice. For he was always king of the world, but he became our king when we saw him hanging on a cross. God, we delight in you, and we give you thanks in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks, Matt. Great job, as always. That's all right. I know who I am. A great question came in the first service. It says, how do you know what you're supposed to do in life, like career or degree? And it's a great question. And, you know, it's different for all of us. I told whoever that person is, I said, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to be an orthodontist. But... So maybe that's a word for somebody today. I don't know. The thing is, when you figure out what your dream is, It should be something you can do everywhere that you are. I can fulfill God's dream for my life no matter what I'm doing as a career. My dream to help other people discover their dreams. My dream to be free so that I can set others free. I can do that no matter what I'm doing. Number two, I said, don't be afraid to make mistakes. Remember, God's always calling. You're never out of his reach. And when I started in the tech industry, for a while, I looked at that as, wow, I wasted my time. I went in all these wrong directions, running away from my dream. But you know how valuable that part of my life is to me today? You know the things that I learned in that season that have helped propel me in this season? Never discount what God is teaching you right now just because it doesn't make sense, because it doesn't look the way you thought it would, as being so incredibly valuable for you and for somebody else in the next season. And finally, I said, hey, listen, come talk to one of the staff. Come talk to me. I've got some tools that I can help you figure out what God's gifts are in you. Maybe that won't give you a career, but maybe it'll at least guide you in a direction of an area or a field that you might want to explore a little bit more. But we've got lots of tools to help. Don't be afraid to ask, to check them out. Again, there's cards with that website out on the welcome desk. Books available. Celebrate Recovery on Wednesday nights. I also want to encourage you to check out the Right Now Media. You should have an email in your inbox by the time you get home today. If you don't, go sign up on our website, Free Blasts, and you'll get an invitation on Wednesday as well. Lots, thousands and thousands of videos, Bible studies, marriage conferences, finance, recovery, any topic you can imagine is out there, stuff for your kids, great material. It's all free for you. You can share it with your friends and neighbors as well. Enjoy it, okay? Finally, my prayer for you, my desire for you, for all of us in this room today, is that we remember who we are. We don't let another day go by without letting God speak that identity into our lives. And as you remember who you are, may you go out, subdue the earth, and be the revolution. Amen.